This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. For millions of Americans, travel has stopped. We have scrapped vacation plans, canceled business trips, and you've been asking us questions about how to approach travel during this precarious time. Catherine Hamm is travel editor for the LA Times, and she is here with some answers. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You have been doing a lot of reporting on the state of travel. Obviously, everything is in upheaval. I mean, what are the big themes that you're seeing right now?
Forgive me for saying this, but is it wrong to say that everything is different? You know, if you travel frequently, the routine is so familiar. You go to the airport, you park, you get on a flight, you use the time to work or read or nap, you get off, you get to the hotel, you do whatever it is you're doing, then you go home. None of that is a given anymore. Hmm. Any part of that can fall apart, most parts of that have fallen apart. So it's a pretty amazing time for travel, which is to say there's hardly any travel.
Hmm. Well, we're getting a lot of questions about it, so let's get right to it. Here is a question about taking a road trip.
My name is Jim Marks. I am a resident of Southfield, Michigan. Currently, I'm snowbirding in Las Vegas. It's time to go home. Is it safe to travel across the middle of the country for 4 days in the car?
So he's been snowbirding in Las Vegas, spending the colder months there. Now that it's getting warmer, he wants to go back to Michigan. Does it seem safe to drive, Catherine?
Well, in terms of traffic, it's going to be a lot safer because there are many fewer vehicles on the road. But I would make sure that I took several precautions before I left. I would, for example, drive with a cooler. That will help you minimize stops, take some high-protein snacks and lots of water, and make sure I had Clorox wipes or some kind of wipes, alcohol, gloves, and a mask. I also would make sure that you have hotel reservations along the way because so many places are shut down that if you need to stay over, you need to know that that place is open. Mm. I'd be careful to try to avoid pit stops and try to avoid interacting with, say, rest stop personnel at gas stations and so forth. Make sure I had a mask and gloves with me. One thing that is cropping up is that increasingly U.S. states are saying if you're staying overnight in this state or you're staying in this state, you're going to have to quarantine yourself for 14 days.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's something that you want to avoid at all costs.
Sounds like whether you're going from Vegas to Michigan or anywhere else, travel right now just takes a lot more thought and preparation in advance than it might have just a couple months ago. Let's go next to a question from Ruth in Madison, Wisconsin.
My question is regarding visiting my 85-year-old father who recently had a stroke. He is in Canada and I'm in the United States. I'm wondering whether I am allowed to visit him.
That sounds like a really difficult situation. Well, Catherine, we know the U.S. has restricted border crossings in Mexico and Canada. What about visiting a parent like this?
Well, the Canadian Immigration Organization is discouraging almost all travel, but they will let people in to see family, an immediate family member. But you have to show the family member status as a Canadian citizen, and you have to have several other documents. So I would definitely check Canadian Immigration and make sure that you follow the letter of the law.
On Twitter, Kevin writes to ask, as some Asian and European countries are starting to ease restrictions, when do you think they would allow non-citizens of those countries to enter? I've got to say, seeing those pictures of empty Venice and Rome and these other tourist attractions, whether it's a good idea or not, it does seem tempting to be in one of those places without the crowds. What would you say?
Oh, I would say that would be a dream come true, but it would also be probably a little premature. I think the best thing to do is to keep a watch on the State Department's website, travel.state.gov, and take your cues from that about when international travel is allowed. Not only does it keep an eye on the COVID situation, but it also keeps an eye on what the current regulations are for just about every country in the world, and let that be your guide.
Well, if you have a question for Catherine Hamm about travel, send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or share it on Twitter using the hashtag NPRConversation. And our next question here comes from Sarah of Crawford, Colorado. And I think many people are wondering this right now. Let's listen.
My question is, how is the coronavirus going to affect travel for summertime?
Would you advise people to cancel or think twice about their August vacations or their 4th of July plans?
Well, it depends a little bit on whom you're speaking with. We talked to several experts about this week, and they all say that a place coming back to life. It's not like a light switch. It's not like you're flipping a light switch. Mm. So if you're flying flights have to be added back into the schedule, and airlines will do that cautiously given the financial burden that they're under. If you're going to a national park, you have to check and see if it's even open.
Yeah.
Same with beaches, same with any place. Do you have a place to stay? There are very few hotels that are open. So I think the prudent thing to do is to wait as long as you can to make your summer plans, and then take the temperature, no pun intended, at the point that you're ready to book. The good news is that refunds and vouchers from travel providers have been much more generous than they have been in times past.
I would also imagine, depending on the kind of vacation you're planning, maybe a week in a cabin in the woods is a bit easier to count on than a cruise, for example.
It may, in fact, be easier. However, much of the, for example, the vacation home rental market has been seriously affected because it just stopped. And so many of those owners are wary, and they're also struggling financially. So they may not even be in business anymore. But yeah, it, being in an isolated place makes sense if you can get the lodging that you need. There's always, of course, camping.
Right. Well, let's take this question now from Ellen in Michigan, who's asking about a really hard-hit industry, cruises.
A friend of mine returned from the world cruise that left a few days before China, let the world know about COVID-19, and no one on her ship is sick, and they docked in London on the 14th of April. She has to get back to Belleville, Michigan, and she is immunocompromised. Do you have any suggestions for her as she makes her way home from England on buses, planes, and taxis?
Just to recap that question, because the phone line was a little blurry. What's the word I want there? And she was saying that her friend arrived from a cruise in London a few days ago. Nobody on the cruise was sick. She's trying to get back to Belleville, Michigan, and is immunocompromised. The trip will involve buses, planes, and taxis. What advice do you have for the friend?
Well, as my husband liked to tell me, I may have walked by a medical school once, but I'm not a doctor.
Okay.
So I think the best advice for her friend is to talk to her doctor, her primary care physician, and find out his advice. I did pose this question to an infectious disease specialist recently who suggested that she might want to quarantine in England for about 14 days if that's possible. Mm. That gives her time to prove that she's not ill and to make sure things have settled down a little bit. But really, I think her first resort should be talking to her own doctor who knows her case better than anybody else.
Catherine Hamm, travel editor for the LA Times, thanks so much for the advice and for answering these questions for us.
Thank you. Be safe.
And you can hear much more of our coverage when you download the NPR One app. Go to the Explore tab and click on the coronavirus outbreak for a curated stream of stories. If you have questions on personal finance or the economy, tweet them. Use the hashtag NPR Conversation. This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.